Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and another episode of Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Prophetess Valerie Burrell, joined also with her wonderful husband, Elder Benny Burrell. We're grateful to God for all of you who have joined us on this evening for our conversation regarding getting out of the church doghouse. Wow. So let's pray. Amen. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. God, thanking you for who you are, for all you've done and revealed in this day, for all you're going to do in this moment. God, we give you praise. Right now, we yield ourselves to you. God, that we decrease, that the Spirit of God would increase in us. God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and speak through us. God, that you would be glorified. God, that we would be the vessels used to bring increase to your kingdom. God, be with us tonight. Speak to us like only you can. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. And we count it done now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're grateful to God for those of you who have joined us on the phone line, as well as those who have joined in the chat room. For those who've called, and if at any time you have a question or comment, or you'd like to add to this conversation, please press 1 and we will bring you live. If you have questions in the chat room, please type them out and we'll do our best to get to you to respond to your question while we are live. Amen. Amen. So, getting out of the church doghouse. Now, I guess for some of you, you probably say, what in the world are you talking about? What is the church doghouse? Lady, what are you talking about? Well, let me share with you. I am, for those of you who have been listening and joining us for any given period of time, I am pursuing my license in Christian counseling. And as I study Christian counseling, I'm being exposed to great information about the body of Christ, how we fit into the body of Christ as individuals and as families, and how often what we encounter in our homes then translates over to what we experience in the church, because the situations aren't dealt with properly. And so in the last few weeks in my study, I run across a book in one of our texts by David Means. And this book talks about healing the dysfunctional church family. And in it, he talks about a lot of things. He talks about love that has to be earned, blaming and shaming, unhealthy comparisons and competition, living in denial and delusion, compulsive and addictive behaviors, perfectionism, frozen feelings, and the inability to celebrate. And within those chapters, he shares with us regarding the church doghouse. And man, that thing just caught my attention. Because when you look at Ephesians 4:16, I'll go there. From the New International Version, it says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. So when we look at our human body, we understand that our human body can't function effectively if one of the members, if one of the organs, if something within us is diseased, or has issues with it, we don't function properly. And as with that body, those things also happen within our family. That when our family comes together, be it a husband and wife, or be it a husband, wife, and children, you know, we have families that are blended, where we have, you know, our children, and all are our children, but we have children that we didn't give birth to as mothers, but we raise as our own. Many people call them stepchildren, but they're children. They're ours. There are even families where grandparents are raising their grandchildren, and families are just coming together in an effort to survive for the long and short of it, for survival. So when we look at this, when we look at families that are dealing with a dysfunction, families that are dealing with a missing piece, for me, wow, okay, I hear you, God. I didn't see this until just this moment. But when you're dealing with a dysfunctional family, loss of loved ones, and in the family, how it affects you. But then when you get to the church, loss of leadership that causes dysfunction in the house, which causes for problems, and it makes it hard for the body to thrive and to grow and to become all that God wants it to be. So, okay, I hear you, Val. How do we get to this doghouse thing? Because how? What's this about? So the author of this book says this, and this is coming from our text. It says, let us first consider love that has to be earned. Whenever love is based upon performance, love is often withheld when a person's performance is viewed as substandard. An example of this is the parent who gives a child the silent treatment because of a low grade received on the child's report card. This child senses rejection, and the parent's emotional absence is perceived by the child as the loss of love, even if the parent has not verbally said, I don't love you. Since the same principle applies in our churches, often church members who do not perform up to par may find themselves positioned in the church doghouse. The church doghouse. Getting out of the church doghouse. So this is what the Lord showed me. And thank you, Pastor Linda, for being on the line tonight as the Lord leads, because I know that you can add insight to this. Amen. And Elder Benny as well. Please jump in as the Lord leads. Amen. But when we look at this, when we look at this principle about leaders who put members in isolated places, you're there, I see you, but I don't want to hear you because you didn't agree to give when we asked for the $1,000 for church anniversary. And because I asked all leaders to donate towards buying me 7 new suits and the First Lady, 3 Michael Kors bags, because you didn't give to that, then I don't feel like you're loyal to me. And because, oh, come on, y'all know what I'm saying. People will put demands on folk in church. Leaders will, based on the expectations they have of the individual, and not taking into regard what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is desiring. And when we don't do it the way they want us to do it, they put us in the doghouse. Now, what is a doghouse? Now, in a marriage, when a man says, yeah, my wife put me in the doghouse, he's usually saying, I upset her. She went to bed upset with me, and she put me on the sofa. That's what they call a doghouse. Is that right, honey? He said, I don't know. My husband doesn't go to the doghouse. Amen. Not here. Not now. Praise God. But I'm just saying. But when you look at the church doghouse, often we have been placed in isolated places and places where we can be seen and not heard, places where we can't thrive. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Linda. Thank you so much for joining us.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Leaders will use us for what they want to use us for, but not allow us to flow in what God has called us to, putting us in sort of a doghouse. And then, oh, if you're a well-behaved dog, though, they'll bring you out when company comes because they want what's on you to shine, to make them look good. But it's still not about glorifying God. It's about glorifying man. Pastor Linda, what do you have to share? What are you hearing? What are you feeling?
I'm hearing just what you're saying. And a lot of times what that does, it creates offense in that individual. And a lot of times people end up leaving one place and they're offended, and offense become a bait of Satan. Another tactic that the enemy uses to discourage that person from their assignment and from fulfilling their assignment. Because if you're under a leadership, you think that leadership should be sowing in you and putting leverage on the anointing that's in you and calling forth that your God, your purpose, so you can meet your God place, so you can get in your God place. All right, I'm going to let you keep talking because you're good.
No. I mean, you're right there because when that happens, when you go into a place and you're being pushed into that doghouse by the leadership, because they might see who you are, but they don't want to deal with who you are. And you hear me, because all of us have a divine assignment in the earth. All of us have what God has placed on us from our mother's womb, even before he places there. We all have a purpose in the earth. We all have anointing. We all carry gifts. We all have something to add to the body of Christ.
Amen.
But when you're under a leadership and what you got on you don't look like what they got on them, and what you bring to the table looks a little more pleasing and palatable to the people than what they put on the table, then they don't want you to serve what you got because you're going to make their stuff look like back kitchen. You can get this at the back door versus I'm serving this on China. And so you're not given in that situation the opportunity to perfect what God has placed inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll cause you to really sort of shut down sometimes, because when you're in a place that you can't operate and what God has given you to do, I'm talking about me. I shut down. When I've been in places when I'm like, God, I know I heard you. God, I know I saw that. God, I know. I mean, I know your voice. I know. And God, I know you said that, but God, I. So then you find yourself being in a place and even when you have the ability to come out the doghouse, you stay in there for the fear of repercussions, because you obeyed God and not doing it the way that man expected you to do it.
Mm-mm.
You become intimidated. And what is that doing to the anointing on your life? It's still there, but you're diminishing. You're diminishing what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And God is like, I need you to come forward. And you'd be like, nah, I'm not. No, God, And so it pushes you to a place that you be like, you know what, I got to get out of the doghouse. I've got to get out of this doghouse.
Well,
and the first step to clearing that is our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind gets us. Our mind is what allows the enemy. And I have to call it what it is. I have to call it the enemy, because if you're not trying to grow God's people, then what you're doing is fighting against what God wants to do. That's the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to look at it. And unfortunately, we have a lot of leaders in churches that are not about God's business. They're there because of a personal agenda. Everybody ain't about building God's kingdom. Y'all, for those, you know, and you can send me an email if you don't like what I said. You can find me on Facebook if you don't like what I said. Don't matter. It's the truth.
True. Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. You think because everybody's running there, then that's the place to be. You better go where God is sending you so that you don't find yourself subjected to this type of treatment. And then when God is telling you to move forward and be who I called you to be, but you stuck because you're doing it the way man said and not what God said, come on, you got to be careful.
My God.
What's going on in the church, how you're being treated in the church, if it's not dealt with properly, you start taking that back on. If it wasn't in your home, you take it back to your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the dysfunctional behavior from the church becomes the dysfunctional behavior in your family. And then personally, now you're changing how you look at things. You're changing how you hear things because now you're being prompted like a dog in a shop chain. That if you move outside of what man wants or somebody moves outside of what you want, you want to hit them with a taser or hit them with a shock to get them back in line to do what you want to do. And God said, no, it can't be that way.
Mm.
It can't be that way. We have to move according to what he says.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So we have got to deal with a few things in order to get out of the doghouse. I thank God because Apostle Henrietta Brooks today, she said some very key things and that are even applicable to where we are dealing with the church doghouse. And she posed a few questions to us, and I was taking notes, and they weren't. I didn't do good notes, but I can read them, I think. But she posed these questions. She said, are you connected to the person that you're connected to? Make sure that it's someone who comes to the temple, someone that has a prayer life, that prays, and somebody that's on time. And that on time to me says purpose-driven.
Right.
And so when you are part of a ministry that's going to do right by God, you've got to be connected to a place where they understand what the temple is. They understand the necessity of coming together to grow God's kingdom. They understand mm-hmm. that. And then it's a place where you can come and you pray. It's got to be a house of prayer. It can't just be mm-hmm. a place mm-hmm. of formality. It can't just be a place where we come together and we have a good time and we're dancing and we're doing all this stuff. But there's no prayer. It's got to be prayer.
It's empty. Yeah, it's empty, yeah.
It's got to be. And then it's got to be a place that functions with accountability. It's got to be a purpose-driven house, a house that has a mission and a vision that aligns with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
us, as the believers who are going into these places, we have to look for the leadership that lives the life. Don't just talk the talk, but lives the life. Because, see, now people are drawn to the name.
Mm-hmm.
They're drawn to the name. If the big name come in town, then everybody want to flock because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
But is that name really about the name Jesus?
Come on.
Or are they just about their name? So in order to get out of the church doghouse, it first takes us to have a renewing of our mind. And I posted today, self-acceptance is going to be the tool to aid you to operate in purpose so that you won't find yourself in the doghouse. You say, well, Valerie, what do you mean, prophets? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that God made us, uniquely made each one of us, with a divine purpose. I love Pastor Linda Brown's hair. That stuff just flowing. When she shakes her hair, it moves. I don't have no, I'm a bald head, small head right now. But I love her hair. Do I want it? Mm-mm, no, because that looks like work. But I admire what I see in her. I admire the way she dressed. I like the fact that she's my size. So, you know, when she won't give away clothes, she can show them to me. She can be around. Come on. You know, we look at things in other people and we can admire them. So it's not for us to try to mimic and become them, because Pastor Linda is uniquely her, as I am uniquely me.
Amen.
Pastor Linda understands what God has called her to, as I, Valerie, understand what God has called me to. And I'm just talking to my husband, because my husband, if he had given a text, probably preached a mini sermon at the homegoing service on yesterday about fulfilling divine assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming to the understanding of who God has called him to and the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's with those things that each of us move forward in fulfilling what God has given us to do. So when we go into a house, when we place ourselves, hear us, we have to place ourselves under leadership. When we place ourselves, we place ourselves with an expectation. Hear me, as each of you should, with an expectation that you're going to acknowledge who God has called me to be, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to allow me to exercise what God has given me to do. And God is going to be glorified. There's not going to be any jealousy. There's not going to be any competition. But we're going to build God's kingdom. That's the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
When you place yourself under a leader. So when you go in and you find that everything that you desire is not there, then you say, okay, God, I see this. I see this for what it is. There is a way of escape. And my brothers and my sisters, for some of us listening on tonight and those who will listen later, now is the time for the escape. Because who you are and what God has called you to is being limited by the plan of man. We as a people, African American people, have dealt with enslavement in one form or another for years, for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to imagine that even in the church in 2016, there's still a method of enslavement taking place when leaders will try to place you in a doghouse, place you in a place of servitude only for what they desire of you and not allow you to flow in what God has called you to. We have got to become self-accepted, to know that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, to know that God placed us in the earth with an intent that he be glorified and that the kingdom be built up because of us fulfilling our assignment in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a place where you're on a leash that you can go so far and then you get snatched back, and then you can go so far, and then you get snatched back, and then they sit, and they throw you a biscuit and tell you don't speak, or put a muzzle on you. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
God says time to get out of that. Get out of that doghouse, and the first thing you do is accept who God has called you to be. Accept who he's called you to be, and then see clarity on God's. What is my purpose? God, what is it you would have me to do? God, what am I supposed to be doing in this season? God,
mm-hmm.
where am I supposed to go? God, who am I supposed to subject myself? It's a sad day. I'm going to say this. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when you look around and you don't have a lot of choices.
Mm.
You don't have a lot of choices about where to go. Where you feel like you'll be fed what you need in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad day. Sad day. But we're facing times like that. Then we have got to deal with what's at hand. We've got to stop blaming each other. We've got to stop trying to bring shame on one another because one gift is different than the other. One anointing is different than the other. Come on, can we all, who was it that said, can we all just get along?
Yeah.
Can we as the body of Christ all just get along and be what it is that God has called us to be, do the work that God has given us to do, and grow the kingdom.
Just that simple, isn't it?
It could be, sis.
Yeah.
It could be just that simple. But what does it require? It requires that we get out of self.
Mm-hmm.
It requires that we subject ourselves to the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. For some, it desires the relationship from the start. It requires salvation. Because if you ain't saved, then you're not going to be seeking truth anyway. You'll be okay with being on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody to lead you around because you don't understand what God has done. When Jesus went to the cross, when he gave it up for you and I, when he bled and died for us, for each of us, because he wanted us to be able to have life and life more abundantly. If you don't get that,
yeah,
then you don't have a problem being Tim. You don't have a problem being on a leash. You won't have a problem with that. But come on, my brothers and sisters, those of you who have a relationship, who know the power of his name, to know that he has greatness waiting for you, it's time for you to stand up and be who it is he's called you to be. It's time for you to get out of that place of being pimped. It's time for you to get out of that place of being on a leash and doing what man says instead of obeying the voice of the Lord. It's time for you to get out of that doghouse. We're not even looking at doctrine because we ain't even going there because that's another whole conversation.
But
if we just look at the basics of understanding who Jesus is and what he did on the cross and understanding the benefit of obedience. The word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Man ain't got a heaven or hell to take us to. And we know today if man happy with us today, tomorrow he might be mad and try to take everything from us that he feel like he gets. But God, when God does the promoting, that's something that man can't take from you. When God has called you to a divine purpose in the earth, that's something man can't take from you. What God is pouring into each of us right now in this season of our lives, that's something that not anybody can take from us.
Amen.
And they cannot hold us captive. Because the word said that who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
So we have liberty in Christ. We have liberty to be all that God has called us to be. And no longer, my brothers and sisters, do we have to subject ourselves to being put in a place by man to keep us back from what God has called us to. But we're to be free. No longer will we be ashamed of the anointing. No longer will we be ashamed of the gift. No longer will we be ashamed of the call. No longer will we be ashamed of how we worship and praise him. But we will give all glory to God. And we will obey him and him alone.
Alone. Amen.
And we're going to get it done. Oh, that's how we move fast. God, we thank you.
Amen.
Pastor Linda, thank you so much. Elder Benny, thank you for the smile. Amen. Amen. We thank you all so much for joining us this evening. I pray that this teaching has been a blessing to you. And if you have questions or anything, feel free to email me at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell. And I'll be happy to dialogue with you. Amen. Because now we don't have time to play. Playtime is over. It's time to get serious about the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will be having prayers tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. If you have prayer requests, again, find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or email me and send your prayer request in, and we will be interceding for you. Amen. We will be back on next week with another empowerment teaching, but until then, know that we love you. Know that you're the key to your own empowerment. Do something. Empower yourself. And then take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.